Find, if you would, Matthew chapter 26. It's in that same spirit of that song this morning that I want to preach to you. I pray today that the message would be a blessing. I want to be a help. I want to be able to teach you something today, at least be able maybe to identify a part in your life that will enable you to draw closer to the Lord. Our text is found at the end of the book of Matthew, and it's going to be involving the life of Peter. Pick up, if you would, in Matthew chapter 26. The first verse is verse number 30. It should have some familiarity to you from last week. The Bible says, "And when they had sung an hymn," the "they" is the Lord Jesus and the 11 apostles that are in the upper room. The event of verse number 30 is the Passover. It's also the initiation of the Lord's table. "When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad," quoting from Zechariah. "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 69. "Now Peter sat without in the palace." This is after the Lord Jesus has been arrested. "And a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly." Fascinating passage of Scripture in the life of Peter. One that I'm sure that he would identify with the song that was just sung, Heal the wounds, but leave the scar. Today's Labor Day weekend, to me, this marks the march toward the end of the year. Two-thirds of our year is already gone. They have already put the Christmas ribbon in the stores. Amazing. I get drugged to some of the home decorating stores, dragged there by my wife. And I noticed that while I was out this week that they've already got Halloween stuff out. They've already begun to put everything on the shelves. And you can begin to feel the pressure of the moving of the end of the year. Yesterday it was gloomy and rain. For us northerners, it kind of felt like fall a little bit until you got outside of your car and then you realized there's nothing fallish about the weather. It's 80 some or 90 some degrees. I want to preach to you today with the idea of heading toward the end of the year. And I want to stir you. I want to challenge you. I want to lift you. I want to encourage you. We had a great service last Sunday. We had a great table of the Lord, and it was a marvelous time of communing with Christ. You know, it's the kind of service and the kind of joy and the kind of spirit that we need to continue, not just on a certain Lord's Day, but it ought to continue on every day of our lives. Amen. But I am afraid that services and moments like we had last week are becoming the exception of our lives and maybe not necessarily the norm of God's people. And I'm burdened today. I'm burdened today for all of us. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in true humility and complete obedience and know the joy of serving the Lord Jesus Christ in my life every day. If that's you, say amen. But I think that most of God's people today and a good majority of churches are suffering more like Peter. Peter has just finished a communion service. Peter has just finished taking of the bread and breaking it. He's just finished drinking of the cup. He's just finished that in remembrance of you. And they've had this awesome and wonderful service. And they leave that upper room and they go out into the garden. They go out from that, the security of that room and the spirituality of that moment. And they're going for a walk. And it's not long after that that Peter comes from the thrill of communion to the sobbing tears of denying the Lord. I mean, he goes from a mountaintop experience into the valley of almost a discouragement and a depression. He goes from being one thing at church and kind of another thing outside of church. And he finds himself being tossed, and he finds himself battling. And I think a lot of God's people, we go through this. We're one thing in the security of a church, but we struggle in the personal walk that we have. And we find that we come to church and we get energized and we say this do in remembrance of the Lord, but sometimes we get out in the community and it's not long that we're suffering, maybe in a denial position, maybe in a position where we're not even recognizable. And I don't think we appreciate that. I think if you love the Lord and you find yourself in a position where you've denied him or a position where you've not obeyed him, I think your heart is smitten. I don't know about you, but my heart gets smitten at those moments. And Peter finds himself walking out of there in from a position of worship to a position of offense. And the fascinating thing is he gets offended in his own spirituality, and he gets offended by Jesus Christ in his word. If you go back to chapter 26 and you look at verse number 31, it's Jesus that is speaking here. It's Jesus that is quoting the word of God. It is Jesus that is quoting the truth of God's word. And Peter has the audacity to be offended at Christ and to be offended at the word of God. And his thought process is, you're not right about me. I'm stronger than this. I'm better than what you give me credit for. And Peter is in a position in his life where Jesus is getting ready to expose him. And I believe that Jesus is exposing him purposefully, because he's getting ready later after the resurrection. I mean, he's getting ready to really use Peter in a marvelous and glorious way. But Peter's got a problem. This problem is he thinks himself to be a true spiritual man, but he's really living under the direction of a false spirituality. It's not that he doesn't believe or trust Christ. He's done quoted just a few chapters earlier, 10 chapters earlier, when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the living Christ, the Son of God." Peter knew that. But yet, in knowing that, he still wasn't knowing the moment-by-moment walk of a truly spiritual man. And Christ is getting ready to expose his heart and his mind. And he's getting ready to do it out of love. By the way, anytime Christ confronts us, it's out of love. Whom the Lord loveth, he does what, class? Chasteneth. He's got purpose in it. And so Peter is there, and the Lord is confronting him, and instead of receiving it, he's offended. He's mad. "Don't you dare tell me that about myself. Don't you compare me with them. I'm better than that." And I think a lot of times, God's people, we would never say this out loud, but in our heart, we kind of think we're better spiritually than what we really are. And we really and truthfully, we live a life that's marked by a false spirituality because of our assumption and because of our belief and our direction. And so because of that, our lives are so up and so down. There's so one thing here in church and such another thing outside. And we battle in our mind this offense. And we wrestle when we get pricked. And we don't like to find ourselves humbling. And it's all because we kind of think ourselves to be better than what we really are. Matter of fact, in last week's lesson, Paul said, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Paul said, "Don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think." And here's Peter. He's got himself in his own mind so elevated that he thinks, "I'll never fall." Let me tell you something. When you get in your mind the thought that you could never fall into sin, my friend, you are on dangerous ground. You are one step away from finding yourself weeping bitterly at how far we do fall. And so I want to kind of take you through the mindset of Peter this morning. I'll never finish this message. Pastor, you never finish any of your messages. I'll never finish. I'm going to come back tonight to finish. I got 7 points. But I'm going to try to get 4 of them in this morning. And then I want to end in the book of John. But I want to kind of identify false spirituality. And I'm going to identify the thought process of false spirituality and where it resides. And really and truthfully, I'm trying to get you to understand our own heart and our own mind. And I'm really speaking today to that person that you're frustrated. You're frustrated at yourself because there's no consistency. There's flashes, but there's falls. There's moments of height, but there's depths of valleys. And you go from being offended to at rest to being offended to at rest. And it's just this frustration with our own self and with everybody else. And I want us to understand that's a mark of walking in a false spirituality. I want you to end the year well. I want you to end the year worshiping the Lord. I want you to end of the year seeing God do great things. So let me identify these. You're going to need a pen. You might need to write some thoughts down here. But let me identify them, and hopefully this won't be true about you. But if it is, we'll be able to make some confession here at the end of the service. First thing I want you to understand when it comes to a false spirituality is found in verse number 33. It's found in Peter's answer to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is speaking truth to him, giving him the word of God. Peter answers and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will..." What's that next word? I. False spirituality will always be marked because it's seated in our own ability. Our own ability. The Apostle Paul said he would put no confidence in the flesh. Peter's pride was offended. You know, what basically Peter ought to have said was, "Woe is me. Lord, help me." Matter of fact, it was Jesus that had to look at Peter one day and say, "Peter, you don't even understand. I'm praying for you, buddy. You think you're okay and you don't need any prayer, but man, I'm praying for you because Satan hath desired to sift you and you can't even see that. I'm interceding for you." And Peter had such a false security in this false spirituality mindset. And it was absolutely all of his hope, all of his joy, all of his pleasure, all of his decisions, all of his security rested in the fact, "I will never do that." And let me tell you something. Any spirituality that is linked to our own ability will always be described as false. When I care more about myself, when I care more about my own feelings, when I care more about what I hear, how I feel, what I taste, what I see, what I smell, when I'm worried more about my own name, when I'm worried more about being described as incomplete as far as a sinner, or being described as not having the ability to be righteous in of myself, when I care more about those things than the glory of God, I understand I'm operating in a false spirituality. Now, false spirituality that is seated in our own ability will always be marked by two things. It will be marked by ambition, write this down, and it will be marked by emotion. Ambition and emotion. Peter had an ambition, and his ambition was to be the greatest in the kingdom. Peter's ambition was that he was going to sit on the right hand or the left. Peter's ambition was, they had these discussions often, that who would be the greatest. And so Peter was always under that ambition. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 22, even after that, at the end of the time that where Christ was on the earth, they're still talking about this. And Peter didn't want anything that would negate from that ambition. And so for Jesus to say, Peter, you're going to forsake me as well, Peter saw that as a dent in his ability to be ambitious. He saw that as a flaw. He saw that as a negative. He thought, there's no way, if I run from the Lord, that I'm going to be able to be the greatest in the kingdom. There's no way that I'm going to be able to have that prestige. And so because he was living under that false spirituality that was tied to his own ability, and it was really driven by an ambitious thing of where he was going to be, how dare you tell me that I'm not going to be able to survive and do that. Ambition will always be tied. Selfish ambition will always be tied to our own ability. It will always be tied to pride. Listen, as a child of God, you should have one ambition: that God's glorified in my life. Number two, it's marked by emotion. Pastor, I'm emotional. Nothing wrong with emotions. God created emotions in our lives. God created us to be emotional, to be able to relate. But Peter couldn't control his emotions. And his emotions were tied to his senses. His senses were tied to his ambition. His ambition was tied to what he trusts. So when Jesus looked at him and said, you also are going to forsake me, it angered his pride. And his emotions swelled up. And he got angry over that. I wrote down in my paper, do you get offended when you are confronted and exposed for your lack of spirituality? Do you get offended when you are confronted and exposed over the lack of spirituality? See, I think we all kind of think we're a little bit better than we are. And so you let somebody confront us, and you let somebody compare us to a lower level than what we think we are, and we get offended. Pastor, what should I do when I get exposed? We confess our sin so that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. When I get exposed, I ought to thank God for revealing this in my life. When I'm confronted by God, there ought to be the humility of that, to do that. Peter wanted nothing. He was driven in his emotion, tied to his ambition, tied to his own self authority, to his own ability. And he was walking under a spirituality that had nothing to do with the enablement of Jesus Christ. It was all about him. So when Jesus said, you're not enough, don't you dare tell me I'm not enough. Let me tell you something. If we were enough spiritually, there would never be the need for that. And in your Christian walk, my friend, you better never get far from the cross. Because the further you get from the cross, the more you're going to begin to look at your own ability. And we do not have any, thank God for the grace of God. False spirituality is consumed with the self-ability of the righteousness of a man. And boy, Jesus just put it in Peter's face. And he's exposing him to what he's trusting. Not only is it seated in our emotions, but it's subjected to our experiences. If you look at verse number 30, Peter is in there, and they're singing the hymn, and they're rejoicing. And then you come to verse number 74, and then he's cursing and swearing. He goes from singing the hymns and rejoicing to cursing and swearing. What happens about that? He's living in the moments. He's subjected to the experiences and the encounters of his life. He's subjected to the circumstances of life. If he's in a good situation, there's joys. If he's in a bad situation, he's cursing. He's one thing here and he's another thing there. There's no mooring, no anchoring. Now let me tell you something. If you can go from praising the Lord to one moment to cursing to another moment, that you're living under the operation and direction of a false spirituality. That ought not to be so about God's people. Amen. Cursing ought not to come out of our mouth. I understand that we may make some mistakes, but we can't let the circumstances drive us. It amazes me how we're able to vacillate between the two. I want to show you some scriptures here. I want you to go to, I guess the first thing to do is go to Psalm 112. Go to Psalm 112. This talks about the security of a righteous man. It talks about being settled. And I love this passage. I go here often because it helps me. Psalm 112. Bible says in verse number 1 that, praise you the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. We're talking about a man that fears God, that delighteth in his commandments. He goes on to describe the blessing there, but if you look at verse number 7, it says, verse 7, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is what, class? Fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. See, true spirituality, a true walk with the Lord, a true leading of the Spirit of God, it anchors us, it fixes us. It enables us not to be swayed by the experiences. You're studying Philippians in Sunday school, and that's the book that steals our joy, and it goes through there and of circumstances and of people and of things and of worry, and these things are robbing us of our joy. And so here Peter is, and Peter had a problem with this. Paul had to confront him about this later. When he was with the Gentiles, he was one thing, and when he was with the Jews, he was another. And he was being driven by where he was in his experiences, in his surroundings, and there was never any consistency. Why was there never any consistency? Because he was being led by himself. He wasn't being led by the Spirit of God. He had a false spirituality. He wasn't settled upon the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God keeps us anchored. Amen? Look, if you would, at James chapter number 1. I know I'm turning you a couple places, but I want you to see some things here. You need to read these passages. Look at James chapter 1. The Bible says, verse number 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So this man looks into the Word of God, and the Word of God reflects who he is, and then he is able to address himself accordingly. And the Word of God keeps him in a stable position. Look at the evidence of that. If any man among you seem, verse 26, to be religious, that was Peter, and bridleth not his tongue, that was Peter, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is what, class? But pure religion and undefiled before God and the fatherless is to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so we live under sometimes under this guise of a false spirituality where it's seated in our own ability. And we just think that we're better than what we are. We think we're capable. We don't understand the grace of God. We don't understand that we were lost. We don't fully see ourselves as in trouble as we were. And then it not only goes from that, but it our whole spirituality depends upon our experiences. It depends upon where we are. We're one thing here, another thing there. There's no stability in us. And that's where Peter found himself, rejoicing one moment, cursing the next moment. That ought not to be true about God's people. You would agree with that, amen? I hope that's not you. Pastor, as long as God continues to meet all of my needs, I'll bless him. Or as long as everything's good in my life, that's fine. But you let something not be good in my life, and then we're going to have problems. This was Peter here relating on an experiential level. Then Peter had to do what most people have to do when they walk under false spirituality. He has to do work in his conscience. And so a false spirituality is also supported in our conscience. Look at verse 33. Peter answered and said unto them, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. I will never be offended. He's setting his own parameter. He's trying to justify himself in his own conscience. He's trying to find approval. He's trying to say that, listen, that's not going to be true about me. And basically, he's trying to find justification for his walk, and he's trying to find it in his conscience. And so, yeah, you can say all that, but that ain't going to happen about me. By the way, look, if you would, at verse number 30, look at verse number 33. He says, though all men shall be offended. Then he goes in verse 35 and he says, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. What is he saying? In his conscience, he's justifying himself above everybody else. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But a false spirituality is always having to be secured in our conscience. Now, how does the conscience secure itself when the whole reason of our spirituality is consumed with ourselves? What must the conscience do? I'll tell you exactly what it must do. It's got to look at Brian. It's got to look at Hugh. It's got to look at Nelson. It's got to look at Ricardo. And my conscience has to say, I'm better than all of them. So then, when God confronts us, that conscience begins to look for others who are beneath us. Well, they do that, but I don't do that. Well, look at them, and I'm better than them. Let me tell you something. If you get to the place where you are looking at others and comparing yourself to them to secure you spiritually, you are in big trouble. Big trouble. Big trouble. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by, and hearing by, the Word of God. So where do you and I, as if we're walking in a true spirituality, where do we find our security? Not in our conscience, in the Word of God. And so Peter's in this place. He is offended. And Jesus has just stuck him good because all of his security was in the fact of his own ability. I will never do that. And Jesus is showing him the weakness of his argument, because you can be this, do in remembrance of me, and now you're over here cursing Peter. You're so unstable. You're one thing at church, you're another thing here. You're inconsistent. You have mountains, you have valleys, but these aren't mountains and valleys I brought you to. These are mountains and valleys because there's no consistent platform for you. Your feet are not grounded. Your mind is unstable in all your ways. A double-minded man, and he's unstable, Peter. And so you're more, instead of trusting the Word of God, you're looking at the experiences and how whatever you're experiencing at the moment, you're letting that emotion either secure you or discourage you. You're letting it bring you to anger or bring you to joy. Peter, you're not standing on the truth. And not only that, Peter, in your mind, you're trying to justify your position. And you're throwing everybody you know down. So you can rise up, Peter. And you know why you're throwing everybody down? You got an agenda. You you want to be the greatest in the kingdom. No wonder Jesus said, he that is the greatest is servant of all. Don't wash my feet. Jesus said, listen, Peter, you don't understand. He's living under a false spirituality. Number four, he's forced in trying to support his position through his conscience instead in his reasoning instead of through the word of God, then he's forced to exalt himself. Verse 33, though all men, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. The Bible says, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. I am better than everyone else. And so Peter is exalting himself in his own little spiritual world that he's living in. He's got himself almost not only exalted above others, but he's got himself in an equal position with the Lord. Pastor, how can you say that? I'll tell you exactly how you say that. Because then he would not have been offended. See, Peter thought he was better than everybody else and he was on some special place with the Lord. And then when the Lord looked at him and said, you're going to run away from me, how dare you say that to me? How dare you say that to me? He had exalted himself. Nothing wrong with being exalted, but God must exalt us. And I think that we exalt ourselves spiritually way higher than what we are. Let me tell you something. All of us needed the blood of Jesus Christ. All of us need to understand that we were sinners, lost. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You take Christ, you take the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ away from us all, we would all be in hell. And I want you to understand something here, too. It's important that God's people understand that. That truth does not change even after you get saved. See, sometimes we think that the blood of Jesus Christ, even though it found pardon for our sin, we want to act like we never did sin. Listen, a pardon doesn't negate the crime. Pardon negates the penalty. I still, in Christ, in my own sinful nature, deserve to go to hell. And so do you. And the moment that I somehow get to a position and think that that's not true about me, boy, I begin to exalt myself. I begin to exalt myself spiritually. I begin to exalt myself. I begin to say all these things. And I begin to rise in some kind of level where I begin to put all of this. And I forget, like the song was sung, what I was and what was paid me. No wonder he said, forget not the pit from which you were hewn. I'm afraid that God's people sometimes in walking in our spiritual lives, we forget that we need the grace of God every day. And so Peter's come to this position now where God's exposing him. And God's going to, because God loves him and God's going to use him. And Peter, you've been fake. Peter, you're dishonest. Peter, you're not right, bud. You stand there so secure in yourself. Well, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You're going to deny me and you're going to run like everybody else. How dare you tell me that? I'm better than that. And he begins to exalt himself. Now listen, Peter does that, but God's people do that today. They do that today. I'm going to say the rest of them there. I want to help you because I have a feeling we get so frustrated with the weeping bitterly part. I think that there's more of us in this room that find ourselves weeping bitterly more often than we do lifting up hands enjoying our Savior. I'm going to say that again. I think more of God's people find themselves weeping bitterly because of failure than we do lifting our hands in praise because of the joys of success of trusting the Lord. But I don't think we want to be there. We don't want to be there. And it's frustrating to us to be in those moments. It's frustrating for us to have to do that. We don't want that. We want to be delivered from that. We don't want to go to those directions. So Jesus said, Peter, all of your spirituality is tied to your own ability. Because it's tied to your own ability, it's tied to your experiences. You're having good days and bad days, this and this. And Peter, you're searching to secure yourself in your own conscience and in your own ability. And Peter, if you're going to do that, you're throwing everybody else down and you're exalting yourself and you're looking at them to find some ground to stand on. And oh boy, Jesus nails him at the end. Go to John chapter 21. Go, come on, turn. Hey, Susan, do you think you could sing your song again? I love that. If not, you're going to. Look at verse 15. This is after the Lord Jesus has resurrected. This is after Peter has had those moments of agony. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou what class? Say that again. Lovest thou, say it again, class. Now let's put his name there. Simon, lovest thou Jesus? Here we go. Lovest thou Jesus? So I want to ask you a question. It's the same question Jesus asked Peter. Peter, do you love me? Not do you love being an apostle. Not do you love being a disciple. Not do you love having miracle working power. Peter, not do you love the preeminence that the people are giving you. Peter, not do you love the fact that upon this kingdom I'll build my rock or my church. Peter, not those things. Peter, do you love me? The Bible says that a man cannot love two masters. And Jesus is confronting Peter. Peter, who do you love? Prior to the crucifixion, Peter would say, I love Peter. When Jesus exposed him, now Jesus comes back and says, who do you love, Peter? Peter says, I love you. And Jesus said, from that platform, loving me, go serve him. So I'm asking today, church, who do you love? Who do you love? You either love yourself, walking into that spirituality that's seated in your own ability, based on the experiences, securing yourself in your conscience, debasing everybody and exalting you. Or I love him. Him. It's not about me, it's about you. I don't have any righteousness, but you do. I have no ability, but you do. I have no anything, but you have everything. You are my all in all. Man, if God's people come to the position where Christ is our all in our all and we love him, let me tell you something. There's not anything God can't do with a surrendered life. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of wishing you could rewrite history? Aren't you tired of dreaming that all the mistakes and mistakes and mistakes? Aren't you tired of pretending and justifying? Why don't you come to the understanding and yielding and surrender of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that it is in Him that we live and we move and we have our being, that He is our Lord. He demands all the preeminence of our lives. Stop trusting ourselves and trying to work it out, but walk according to His word. And God's people said, Peter, you need me. I love you, Peter. Are you going to love me? Many of God's people are wounding themselves so bad because we're walking in a false spirituality that's tied to our own ability. It's making us so unstable. Maybe you need to come today and fall on your face before God and just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for walking in my own righteousness. I humble myself. You're merciful. And I want you to forgive me, and I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know that I want to walk led by the Spirit of God in my life.